Well, there you are.
Mm-hmm. I really don't think with 17 games to go, I don't think they're going to blow it, Scott. I think your Rangers are going to win the West and
my Rangers
head into the World Series.
I think they're Chase's Rangers. No, excuse me, they're headed to playoffs.
Hey, I'm just trying to be a fan.
I don't know about World Series or
not. It's been a long time since they made the playoffs. 11 years, I think.
Has it?
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and they will. They'll get that part done.
So not bad for a team that was bankrupt.
That's it, right. Yeah. So, I got a call from a listener who said that they received a memo saying all these war things were going to start earlier. Maybe like 3:30. That they might be doing some stuff over on campus. And he said that came from transportation services. So I guess we can check into that. But just so you know, it may be happening a little early. Don't want you to be alarmed. Okay. Could be. All right. So
I'm looking into it.
Okay. And I knew you would at some point. And anyhow. And the guy was very nice. He just said, I got a memo from transportation services.
No, that's certainly worthy of investigating.
Appreciate y'all telling us about that. So the results of the old Tea Party upset win in Delaware yesterday, the talk of Capitol Hill. And at first, as we discussed yesterday, the national Republican leaders really didn't want to get on board with this Christine O'Donnell. Karl Rove continued to be critical of her, and he pretty much got verbally smacked in the face by the people in Delaware, saying, we don't really need you to tell us what to think, Mr. Rove.
Was he besmirched? By the people in Delaware?
Well, I don't know about that. Okay. But anyway, they...
Sorry, Chase.
Don't be stealing my thunder.
Well, I don't think it's copyrighted, but if it is, you let me know.
Well, I mean, this is the case of unintended consequences. I don't think there's any doubt. Big win for the Tea Party, but... And again, Karl Rove is a smart guy. I mean, he's got to be in a pretty big room to not be the smartest guy in that room. And he got this fellow who was... a business executive and baseball team owner elected in the state of Texas by listening to the people. I mean, he found out what the hot button issues were in different parts of the state, and his background came from direct mail, and he would pinpoint those areas and have his candidates speak to the issues that were important to them. And as a result, George Bush got elected governor of Texas by getting people who had voted Democrat for years to vote for him. And then he kind of took the same thing and put it on the national level, and by golly, it worked two times more. But now, somehow, he just seems to be deaf to the idea that people are mad as hell. I mean, they just are. They're angry. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. They're angry.
Sorry to jump in here.
Please go ahead.
Regarding... Got a little bit of conflicting information. Core website still says 6. Mm-hmm. Texas A&M's calendar says 3:30 until 6.
Okay, so, and that's what he had said is 3:30. So,
either way, and let's be honest, it wouldn't be a big deal probably either way, except for Virginia Tech 3 years ago.
Yeah,
and you start hearing gunfire on campus now, and everybody gets twitchy. So, and rightfully so.
I'm going to bet that within the next 45 minutes or so, we'll be able to talk to somebody. They'll probably call us, and we'll get to the bottom of that and make sure that everything is clear so that there won't be any confusion. Because you're right. Based on things that have happened before on college campuses, best that everybody that we can at least be in touch with.
Yeah, I mean, this is an unfortunate miscommunication because, this is one of those things where you really can't afford to have a miscommunication based on events in other places.
Yeah. So we'll get to the bottom of it, folks. So the deal is that Chris Coons... had a big lead, it looked like, over O'Donnell. And all the models seemed to indicate that Mike Castle was well ahead, and then he lost O'Donnell. So as a result, here's Castle, who'd been in politics for 40 years, part of the machine. Now he's on the sidelines. And the Republicans really don't want to be, as a party, really don't want to be supporting her. So Karl Rove gets on, talks about all the warts and stuff. And she's got some. She has some things that need to be addressed. And but in the executive director of the Delaware 912 Patriots told supporters at a victory party last night that he had a message for Karl Rove. With all due respect, no one is going to tell us how to take care of our business, end quote. Then Rove gets on Fox after that and challenges those people to, quote, prove me wrong that she's not electable. So there's kind of a little bit of nose bloodying going on back and forth. Yeah, we'll see. New Yorker magazine drug up a skeleton out of her closet, promoting creationism, questioning the validity of evolution while on a CNN panel back in 1996. And as Carl Rove said, there's just a lot of nutty stuff that she said out there in the past. So we'll see how all that runs. But I guess now, as time goes on, Jim DeMint seems like the standard bearer for conservatism. And again, he was talking yesterday, saying that losing that Senate seat in Delaware is not the most important thing. Jim DeMint told reporters that Mike Castle wasn't going to vote on a lot of things with us, meaning conservatives. He supported the bailouts, he supported stimulus, the financial reform. Win or lose, we are fighting for the right cause. So he's saying it's not the party numbers that matter, it's the idea that conservative people get elected and then they are able to control legislation. And so, what's fueling the rise in the Tea Party? A CNN Opinion Research Corporation poll says 25% of Americans, 25%, trust the government to do what's right most or all of the time.
That many, huh?
25%.
Mm. I mean, wow. I'm serious. That many.
Yeah. Right. 66% say they trust the government to do what's right only some of the time, and 8% say they never trust the government to do the right thing. And every time, and again, we understood the FEMA thing would be laughable, except it's so sad.
Well, yeah, because if 25% is right, that means that 75% don't trust the government.
Mm-hmm. True.
So what is to make us think anything other than in November there's going to be a big turnover? But, you know, they're not predicting the type of turnover that some people think it's going to be. It's so people are out there voting for people they don't trust?
Well,
I know.
Well, as we've discussed before, any number of times.
Yeah, their congressman is different, right?
They've had polls. Our guy is okay, or gal is okay.
My guy is one of those.
Yeah. It's everybody else that's the problem.
Yeah, my guy is one of those that the 25% trust.
But look at all those crooks out there. One of the sidebars of all this Tuesday stuff was that there's going to be a new mayor in Washington, D.C. And what's kind of, I don't know, interesting slash frightening is Washington, D.C., by just about every measure, has the worst school district in America, which in its own way is kind of sad. But the mayor, Adrian Fenty, was defeated, and what he had done is he and the chancellor of Washington schools named Michelle Ray had really worked hard to reform the schools. I mean, they had fired a bunch of bad teachers, and I mean, that's probably not the only reason, but certainly his education reform, the pundits are saying, was his downfall. He tried to better the schools. The fired teachers and principals rose up, and they were able to generate enough support to get Adrian Fenty voted out as the mayor of Washington, D.C. for trying to make the schools better. Vincent Gray is the guy who apparently is going to win there.
Hmm.
Now,
how big is Washington, D.C.? I mean, as far as, I wonder if anybody knows what the population is of non-government workers.
Of non-government workers?
Yeah, right.
Nine?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, well, I'm just one. And a lot of government workers live in Virginia.
Let me just, are people receiving no government money? That would be nine.
Let me drag out the broad paintbrush and say anybody who's not working for government ain't paying taxes either, okay?
Yeah. Right.
Hello?
Yeah.
Tom's got a good point. A lot of the people who do vote couldn't tell you that Dick Cheney isn't vice president.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Well, sure. Don't know their senators and any of those people. Now, NBC News posed the interesting question, how old is too old to be a senator in U.S. America? The Senate is old and getting older. The average age of a senator in 2005 was 60. The average age now is 63. In the Senate today, a total of 48 senators have been reelected at the age of 75 or older.
Too old.
Well, you know, and it's interesting because as it shifts, as the baby boomers age out, as there are many people in their late 20s or 30s who become politically active, do they see a complete disconnect with all these turkey necks that are out there as their senators?
Very nice.
Thank
you. That was sensitive.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't particularly like that myself. But getting just, a little turkey neck
right,
on.
Okay,
here.
But yeah. I gobble, understand. Gobble. Now it's time to move the heck over and let somebody else come in.
I agree.
And that's and everybody gets older, but sometimes you're going to have to step aside. And I think as people look at that now, maybe they do want some younger folks. Let's go ahead and elect somebody from a Midwestern state and let them serve for, I don't know, not quite a full term. Let's go ahead and elect them president and see how that works out.
I think we tried that.
Oh, yeah.